I don't know. That makes a lot of pressure on me right now. I don't speak out much anymore. I have loved retirement and with Sandy and traveling the world. And when Richard asked if I said, something said, yeah, I want to be here. And I thought about this, that about 40 years ago, I spoke to this congregation before this building was ever built. And they were in, I think, a strip mall. Maybe it was in a theater. And so look how far you've come. And so it's great. This is gorgeous. So congratulate yourselves. And of course, you've had a number of ministers here that were really wonderful. And what stands out is the work that Carol O'Connell did. You know her and how that, a living legend in Unity. And let me tell you, it's difficult to follow a living legend, and Richard Burdick is doing great things. I've kind of read about what you're doing, so yay, I like that. And I want to say a word about Patsy, my assistant, and always did more than was required for me, and just such a beautiful singer. And so I told Richard I want her to sing today, and isn't that wonderful? And you're going to sing again, right? See, she's a... I don't know where she got her love of jazz, but she really can belt it out with jazz. And I watched her girls grow up in our church, and a couple of them are back there with the grandchildren, and it's just neat to be. I want to tell a story about Landon, who was her youngest. She was about 10 years old, and I had a dream one night that she was my neurosurgeon. And they were wheeling me into the surgical suite, and I was just really nervous, and she said, I can handle this, I've got this. So I told her the next time I saw her about this, she says, oh yeah, I can do that. So you have brought up truly talented and confident young ladies, and now they've got their children that they're bringing up, and that's a wonderful thing. So after 40 years, I've been invited back to speak to you. I hope you don't wait another 40 years because I would be 113, something like that, if you do that. But in the Bible, 40 is a significant number. It means what? Completion. Some of you are going to be studying metaphysics, and you'll know that that is a time of completion. In 40 years, the Israelites wandered in the desert before they finally found their promised land. So I want you to know, it's not for 40 years, but Sandy and I have been wandering in the desert. We live in the winter in Tucson, Arizona, and face the Catalina Mountains, and we love to wander in the desert there. So you're all welcome to come see us there. So completion, so I get to come back. And that is a joy to be with you in this ministry. I used to say when I went back to Unity Atlanta, after being gone for 27 years, after having grown up there, that all my Sunday school teachers had either died or forgiven me. My brothers and I were pretty rowdy and ate more than our share of the goodies after the services, but they did, and so I went back there. So after 40 years, it is so nice to be welcomed back here. What I want to talk about today are spiritual ideas for healing. Patsy told you I have a book with that. I'm not going to give you the whole book, but I'm going to give you some of that. And what I want you to know is you can be healed. Whatever you are facing, you can be healed. In my life, I was healed of a situation that the doctor said I couldn't be, and that actually led to my going into ministry. Sandy had a situation with a fall, and she was healed before the doctor came into the room, and he said, that's not possible. It was possible. So I want to say something else, and I get in trouble for this, but I've got the mic. Sandy grew up in Christian Science. You know, it's like a cousin of Unity. But she was living in a dormitory in college, Christian Science dormitory, and there was a resident rat. Don't tell that story. And so she loves all life. She loves all life. She talks to the bears in Walnut Mountain where we live in LJ. She talks to rattlesnakes in Arizona. But this rat was, somebody poisoned the rat. And Sandy did a healing treatment over it, and it lived. And they got, the other residents in the dorm got kind of mad that don't heal that rat. Open the door, let the rat out. So we're talking about healing today, and you can be healed. And it's my favorite topic in 50 years of ministry. By the way, my ordination birthday is going to be August 13th. It was, oddly enough, August 13th, 50 years ago, on a Friday to the 13th. And I've always thought Friday the 13th is lucky. So, one of the things about healing, of being well, is you have to be willing to be well. You have to be motivated to be well. And what Patsy didn't tell you is I grew up in College Park, Georgia. That's a big, you know, it was on the edge of country then. And when we would play a school from Sandy Springs or North Springs, Marietta, our coaches would say, we're going to play the Elite and the Polite. And so from College Park, I got to play the Elite and the Polite up here. But I played Little League Baseball in a field that was called Peter Pan Park. And it was very close to the Atlanta airport. On the other side of the field was a cemetery, the College Park Cemetery. And one evening after the game, I was in a hurry to get home, and I was going to take the shortcut through the cemetery, and I wasn't paying attention, and wouldn't you know it, I fell into a freshly dug grave. And I jumped, and I clawed, and I tried, and I just couldn't get my way out. So I just crawled in the corner and wait till somebody would come by and help me out of there. Well, just a little while later, my best friend from childhood, Charlie, came by. And he did the same thing. And he fell in and he jumped and he clawed and he tried and he couldn't get out. And I was in the shadows and I said to him, friend, you're never going to get out of here. But he did. You see, he was motivated. You have to be motivated. So I hope you're motivated. If you are, I have some good news for you. In my days, you know, it seems so long ago that I was in seminary, I think the earth's crust was just cooling then. And we had some of the best metaphysical thinkers, really, in the movement that would teach us, and one of them was Ed Rabel. Have any of you ever heard of Ed Rabel? Yeah, Ed was a magnificent man, and he taught us about metaphysics, and we call unity a metaphysical organization, like religious science or a divine science. But when we look at the Bible, we try to find the metaphysical meaning. I think you're going to love the class that's coming up for you, because what we mean by metaphysics is that which is true of the interior life of all people. So you look for the symbolism. I told you about the number 40, the symbolism in the Bible. And Ed wanted to see if he could find how the healings happened when you look at the healing miracles in the Gospels. And what he believed was that life is consciousness. Most in metaphysical movements do believe that. What we get in our life is a reflection of what is inside us. Well, as he studied those healings, he found five components of a healing consciousness. And he said, if you want to have a healing, you either have to develop your own consciousness or make contact with somebody who does have that healing consciousness. And we don't know about others' consciousness, do we? And so what we need to do is develop our own. This is very interesting that he came out with what we need to develop in ourselves to find that healing. And he said they are belief, love, willingness, faith, and forgiveness. Five things. I took the first letters of those and began to call that the Great Healing Bluff. But my editors and my students said, B-L-W-F-F does not spell bluff, it spells blow-woof. And I said, I don't care what you call it, just develop it. Develop your consciousness. It helps me to remember to call it bluff, but I'm willing to listen to my editors and call it the blow-woof. And I think about one of my colleagues, and he was very successful in ministry. He was telling me that a woman in his congregation had a serious health challenge. He went to see her in the hospital. And she said, what's in my consciousness that I have this? And you know what he said? Shut up and get well. Now, I've never said that to anyone that I have visited in a hospital, but I say, let's work on the consciousness that will help you heal. And that's what I'm talking about today. So, I want you to know that the idea of consciousness can be very hard for people. So I didn't have the consciousness of this illness or this money challenge or this relationship challenge. Not in your conscious awareness, because your consciousness is made up of all the thoughts, feelings, impressions, your hopes, your fears, your loves, your dreams, all this. It's in there, and some of those are buried in your unconscious. So you didn't go there, and so don't beat yourself up. I mean, for goodness sake. And also, don't look at somebody else and say, what's in your consciousness? Don't ever do that. Help people. Help yourself with your consciousness. So we're going to talk about this. Belief. How many times have we heard, according to your belief, it is what? Done unto you. How many different ways? Now, I do want you to know belief is similar to faith, but I think of belief as more a mental activity, and faith is more of a feeling, intuitive activity. But we will talk about that a little bit. But your beliefs can direct your faith. When I get to faith, I will tell you about that. We use affirmations to strengthen our beliefs, don't we? And you know what else strengthens your belief? Being in a community of others who are strengthening their beliefs. So together, it rubs off. You know, you do become like the people you associate with. So it's important to have the belief in healing, in goodness, in abundance, in loving relationships. For goodness sakes, it works on all of these things. So we use those affirmations to strengthen our beliefs. Love. Do I need to say more? It's essential to healing. You must learn to love yourself and others unconditionally. Hatred is a killer, by the way, so you've got to not do that. If there's someone in your life from whom you have been withholding love, take a look at that. Because love is really the desire for good and only good to come to all people and all creatures, for that matter, even rats in your dormitory. I'm in trouble for that, so. Okay, love. Love casts out fear, and fear is unhealthy. It'll work its way into your body and your relationships and even your pocketbook. So love, essential for healing. Now the third component of a healing consciousness, according to Mr. Rabel, is will. Will. I call it willingness, because I sometimes have had a challenge in my life with being willful. You don't have to show your hands, but you can shake your head. Any of you ever had a challenge with, I see that, yeah, being willful. It's that immature state of mind that says, I want what I want when I want it. Have you ever used that and gotten something, and after you did, you wished you hadn't? Yeah. So it's being willing to the things of spirit instead of that unhealthy mental state. Now, I have on four occasions led church groups to the Holy Land. I see you have then, and you've been there, and I love the Holy Land. Not particularly interested in going now, but I love to go, and there was a place that I really love, which is the pool at Bethesda. You remember what happened at Bethesda? You do, don't you? There's a man had been crippled for 38 years. And Jesus talked to him. I said, do you want to be well? Wilt thou be made whole? And he says, well, you know, every time the angel comes by and stirs up the waters, somebody always gets in ahead of me. And I'm thinking, all right, is there a reason we don't have the will to be well sometimes? This man, 38 years, that's pretty old for Bible times, unless you're Methuselah, but for most people, you know, they didn't live that long. Somebody was feeding him, bathing him, taking care of him, sheltering him. He didn't have to do a blooming thing. And all of a sudden, this itinerant preacher from Galilee comes in and says, do you want to be well? If you do, take up your bed and walk. And he did. And you know what that meant? He's going to have to get a job. He's going to have to get a home. And I suspect he was told, you're going to have to help others in the way you've been helped. So are you willing? Are you willing to take up your bed and walk? The next component is faith. I said it's sort of like belief, but it's not the same. And sometimes we use them interchangeably in conversation. But faith is a power bestowed upon us just for being alive. And I've had many people say, I want you to pray for me to have more faith. And I say, you have enough faith. But where are you placing that faith? When I had that injury playing football in college against Alabama, I don't hold it against them. It was a clean hit, but I couldn't lift my arm any higher than that. And the doctor said, you've torn major nerves, and it'll never be well. I put my faith for a time in those doctors. But at some point, when I actually came back to my Unity Church, the thing that meant the most to me was the meditation. And at that time, I had a sense of my oneness with God. I was not trying to get well, but I began to see myself differently, as a God being, as beloved of God, for whom nothing is impossible. And about 9 months later, I knew I was healed, and I was, and nothing has been impossible to me. But Charles R. Fillmore, Charles S. Fillmore, said faith has a twin power, and they're always together. And that is the imagination. The picturing power of the mind. It's one of the greatest powers given to us, one of the easiest to use, but most of the time we don't consciously do. We get a vision. It's not a good vision of this. We see ourselves as unwell, unworthy, unhappy, unlovable, that sort of thing. And guess what happens to the faith? You've just turned it in the direction of everything that you do not want. So you've got to take hold of that imagination. See yourself as God sees you. And God has never seen you in any way but perfect. So you've got to see yourself that way. If you combine faith with imagination, man, that's a formula for healing. And then the final one, sometimes the hardest one, is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Again, Charles Fillmore called forgiveness a sure remedy. You can get your hands on that article, that little pamphlet that's out there. I believe that. Forgiveness is more than letting go. It is to give for. Forgive is to give for. You give good where something evil, bad, hurtful has been given to you. Is that a tough thing to do? Yeah, it is. But do you want to be well? And I've worked with people needing healing, and I've said this, and I have heard from many people, oh, if you knew what they did to me, you wouldn't forgive them either. And I said, maybe not, but then I wouldn't be well. You've got to do it. Now, I want to say this because this is important. If you're in an unhealthy, a toxic relationship or work or something like that, forgiving does not mean you have to stay in a place where you're in danger. You get to a safe place. Your first responsibility is for your safety and well-being. So, and then you forgive from that place of safety. I want to take a moment to talk about today's political climate. Have you noticed that we are polarized? And there are people over here that say, if you believe that, you follow that, you're a lazy, no good, so-and-so. Another one said, oh, yeah, if you believe that, then you're a lazy, no good, so-and-so here. We are throwing barbs back and forth at each other. And guess what that's doing? Building up the toxicity in us and continuing to cause the separation. You know, I say, my father was a good, staunch Republican. My mother was a good, staunch Democrat. So I've, somebody wrote, no wonder I'm so screwed up. One of my parents was a man and the other was a woman, you know. So, like, no wonder. But what that did for me was I could see both sides. I could see both sides. And I think, you know, there's a funny thing. Patrick said that I served a church in Hawaii for 10 years at the foot of Diamond Head, 6 blocks from Waikiki. It was a tough assignment, but somebody had to do it. But there's a lovely kind of dialect that they have there that sort of combines English and Asian kind of things. And I don't know, it's called Pidgin. You ever heard of Pidgin? You never heard of Pidgin? Go to Hawaii. Go to Hawaii. You know Pidgin. I know. You are. This is a friend who is a fantastic music teacher. And I knew you're in Hawaii and here. And she's just an award-winning music teacher. Anyway, the Pidgin. It's a little hard to understand it when you first get there, but they have created the Ten Commandments in Pidgin. And the 11th commandment is this, and one not a thing. Don't talk stink about nobody. Bum by you get bachi. All right, don't badmouth people because bachi is going to come back to you. And you know, I'm a son of the South. You know, we have a way of bad-mouthing people. So, you know, he's dumb as a crab apple and ugly as a toad. Bless his heart. Bless his heart does not cancel out the negative stuff that you've said. So quit saying it. And Sandy and I have talked about this because she, you know, I gave this talk a couple of times before she said, I got work to do. I said, yeah, I do too. I'm talking to myself. You know, by the way, 50 years of ministry, I was always talking to myself. And I'm just glad that people came to hear me. You know, hey, that was great. I could pay my bills. Don't talk stink about nobody, okay? Let's get that. And we'll bless the world. There's one more thing I want to say that has nothing to do with these notes, but a couple of months ago, I had this dream that I was floating above the earth with friends, holding hands, and we were bringing light and love and peace to the planet. And it was kind of like, you know, when you see those pictures of people that jump out of airplanes, and you get 20 of them, they hold. I said that. And so I invited people at a retreat to do that with me, and on Facebook. Would you do that with me? Would you meditate? See yourself holding hands, beaming light and love and peace. It will make a tremendous difference. So that's my message, is the great healing blow woof or bluff. I want you to remember that. Belief, love, willingness, faith, and forgiveness. And one more thing, don't talk stink about nobody. God bless you.